to Adam's earth, promised one, fulfilling ancient words. God has come to dwell with us. Who could ever know the depths of the mystery of your grace? Though our minds can't take it in, Lord, our hearts are filled with grace.
He will heal the unhealable. He will save the unsaved.
Thank you, team. You guys may be seated. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin this service, we look to the child born in Bethlehem. We know there's hope. Hope was born that night. And the hope is the promise of eternal life with you. That physical death may take us and our loved ones, but the spiritual death, the second death, the separation from you will not occur. For we will be with you, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. And Lord, for that hope, we are so thankful. The gift of your Son is so precious to us. Lord, I lift up my sister in Christ, Helen, who has lost her friend of 71 years. But Lord, you are with us, and you are with her. And I ask you to strengthen her this day. In the days to come, we know where BJ is, and one day, one fine day, we will see him again in the resurrection. But until then, I ask you, Lord, to strengthen Helen. She is such a warrior for you, teaching your word for years. And now, Lord, I ask you for her to stand on that word and hold on to that word and the promises. And I ask you as a church, Lord, that we be her brothers and sisters in Christ, and we come around her and encourage her and strengthen her. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the saints like Helen that have come before us, who have paved the way for this church. And I ask you to bless her this day. We pray this in your name. Amen. How to find peace. Been dealing with counseling. Well, I've been doing counseling for a long time. 20-something years in ministry. I was an Army chaplain. I dealt with a lot of counseling with soldiers. I deal with counseling couples today, and when you read the headlines and you're going through things, peace is just not something you hear much about anymore. Not in the world and not in a lot of people. And as we enter the Christmas season, it's all about finding peace, the true peace. The only peace that will last forever. What I was curious, so I typed in how to find peace on the internet. Because everybody goes to the internet now, right? How to find peace. Over 1 billion hits. A lot of places to look for peace. Looked at AI. What did AI have to say about this? So did AI, and it said, to find peace, focus on the present moment through practices like meditation. Now, it's not talking about meditate on the Word of God, which we are to do. It's not talking about the meditation. It's talking about Hinduism, Buddhist, New Age, and mindfulness. Cultivating a positive mindset, that's definitely, you know, your karma, understanding your teachings of the Buddha. Embrace self-care, healthy habits like exercise, proper sleep, spending time in nature. That's New Age. Not that nature can't, it's nice to be out in nature, we can enjoy God's creation, but you're not going to find peace there. Other helpful strategies include connecting with loved ones, learning to forgive, that's good. Accept what you cannot change. And simplify your environment by decluttering and reducing negative influences. Now, that's again New Age, teachings of the Buddha, word faith movement. Don't speak, say negative things. People say, speak words of life into me and all this sort of stuff. It's just, it's trash. It's bad theology. It's bad philosophy. Very affected by Hinduism, New Age, the teachings of the Buddha, word of faith, all that sort of stuff to find peace. People don't find it through these things. When you don't find peace, depression sets in. And there's a lot of people battling with depression nowadays. The statistics are insane. Over the last two decades, over a 400% increase inside the United States of people falling into depression and going on antidepressant medication. Now, when I was going through Bible college and learning to become, you know, the pastor, and you have to take all these counseling courses, and you have to take psychology courses, and I'm not a big fan of psychology. From the people who created psychology were humanists, and they looked at the human being and the problems with humanity without God in the picture. And so all their findings deal with your just self. You have to fix yourself. And if you can't fix yourself, then we need to give you drug therapy. Because you're just a bunch of chemicals that got together through the evolutionary process, and we'll just fix you chemically. And then it was taught for a long time. Bible college, I was taught this. Seminary, I was taught this. Chaplain school in the U.S. Army, we were taught this. That because chemical imbalances, people can get depressed. May not be the life choices they or the life they're living, the life choices or anything like that. It can be just a chemical imbalance. And then 2 years ago, it came out that that was fraud, but put on by the pharmaceutical companies. That was proven false. Completely false. And pharmaceutical companies were making a lot of money. People saying, oh, your chemicals are off, and so you're on antidepressants. That's why you're depressed. It has nothing to do with that. So you got so many people today. Some say, combined, it's getting into the 40, near 50% people on some sort of antidepressant or behavioral medication. And there are people who are on this medication, they say, I just don't feel anymore. There's no highs, there are no lows, I'm just, boom, I feel nothing. When you can't feel nothing because you're on these drugs, when it comes to God, you won't feel anything about God either. And that's very dangerous. You won't feel conviction. So trying to find peace, and people are using all sorts of techniques to try to find it in this life. And next slide, Levi. With this, you know, this is what was popping up in the internet. Now this has got Taoism, it's got the Buddhist, it's got New Age, the all-seeing eye in there. These were the things to click on to find peace. Next slide, Levi. And then there was just multiple books and videos finding peace, and they all had a New Age pull to them. Go to the next slide. Now, meditation like this, yoga, meditation, and I don't care what you may have heard online, this is right out of Hinduism. You cannot take practices that are designed for Hinduism and make them non-spiritual. Oh, it's just healthy exercise. Oh, it's just mental health. Or put a Christian song to it or music, and now it's Christian yoga, Christian meditation. No, this practice is strictly out of Hinduism. Meditation is looking within. We are not to look within, because inside of us there's nothing good. We are to look up. Our hope is in It's up. It's God. It's not in found within us. We are not going to fix ourselves. We have a sin nature that only a Holy Spirit can fix. And the reason to get the Holy Spirit is through Jesus Christ. And now we're teaching these kids this practice of zoning out or becoming one with your environment or one with the universe. You're opening yourself up to the spiritual realm. The doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. All in the search for peace. People are trying to find calmness. Because nothing in this world satisfies. You can have a big bank account, doesn't satisfy you in the end. You can have the perfect job, your dream job that you always wanted, and you find out it didn't really satisfy. Or one day you have to retire and you don't get to do it anymore. All these things we chase after, trying to find purpose, we're going to be content, we're going to have peace in this life, and it all evades us. Today I want to point people to the peace of Christmas, because that's what Christmas is all about, finding peace. It's not about finding presents. It's not even about traditions and the decorations, though. I appreciate everyone that came in yesterday and decorated the church so beautifully. But Christmas is about peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Peace on earth. I don't think we've ever experienced that since the fall. peace on earth. There was a moment. There was a day. There was a day. One day. Where we know there was no war in the world. Because there's always wars and conflicts going on everywhere. Even in countries you've never heard of. But there was a day when the world was at war. World War I. And there was a day where there was peace on earth. Christmas 1915, World War I, on the Western Front. Let me read you an account from a soldier who was there. It was a beautiful moonlit night, Christmas Eve. Frost on the ground, white almost everywhere. And about 7 or 8 in the evening, there was a lot of commotion in the German trenches. And there were these lights. You remember World War I had the trench warfare. The Allies dug in here, the Germans dug in here, and in the middle was what they called no man's land, the killing fields. So they're looking across this dead zone, this killing zone, to the German trenches, and they see these lights. I don't know what they were, and then they sang Silent Night. I shall never forget it. It was one of the highlights of my life. I thought, what a beautiful tune. There was this young German soldier who started to sing. Excuse me. And as the German was singing, the other Germans joined in. And then something remarkable happened. Heads started to pop up out of the trenches, which was dangerous for snipers, danger from snipers, but slowly the two enemies emerged from their trenches and they each walked into no man's land. He continues, we shook hands, wished each other a Merry Christmas. We were in front of their wire entanglements and surrounded by Germans. Fritz and I in the center talking, and Fritz occasionally translating to his friends what I was saying. What a sight. Little groups of Germans and British extending almost the length of the front. All Christmas Day, the two sides exchanged supplies, little gifts, cigarettes, food. They sang Christmas songs. They even, at one part on the line, they played a soccer game. At 8:30, Christmas night, I fired 3 shots into the air and put a flag up with Merry Christmas. He, a German, put up a sheet with thank you on it. And the German captain appeared out of the trench. We both saluted and got down into our respective trenches. And he fired 2 shots into the air. And the war was on again. There's a group that sings a song about this. And it's a beautiful song. I want you guys to listen to it.
On the Western Front, the guns all died away. And lying in the mud on bags of sand, we heard a German sing from no man's land. He had a tenor voice so pure and true.
The words were strange, but every note we knew. Soaring o'er the living dead and damned.
A German sang of peace from no man's land. They left their trenches and we left ours.
Beneath in hearts the smile bloomed like wildflowers. With photos, cigarettes and pots of wine,
we built a soldier's truth on the front line. The singer was a lad of 21.
We begged another song before the dawn. I'm sitting in the mud and blood and fear.
He sang again the song all longed to hear. Silent night, no cannons roar.
A king's war, peace forevermore. All's calm, all's bright, all brothers hand in hand.
In 1915, in no man's land.
And in the morning, all the guns boomed in the rain. And we killed them and they killed us again. At night they charged, we fought them hand to hand.
And I killed the boy that sang in no man's land. Silent night, no cannons roar.
A king's war, peace forevermore. All's calm, all's bright, all brothers hand in hand.
And that young soldier sings,
and the song peace still rings. For the captains and all the kings build no.
Now you might say, well, the peace Jesus brought fails. Didn't stop the war. Hasn't stopped war. But you got to give him some credit there. It did stop a world war for a day, right? I mean, that's huge that two sides that were killing each other, shooting at each other the day before came together to celebrate peace. But again, people say, well, the peace of Jesus, the peace of Christmas didn't last. It doesn't work. Because that's not the peace that the baby Jesus is bringing. Baby Jesus here doesn't represent peace to the world and no more conflict, no more war. No, that comes later with the man Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. This peace, the peace of Christmas, is something completely different. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The peace the angels are singing about is directly connected to this Christ child born in Bethlehem. A peace that Jesus came to bring to everyone, to all who will believe. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, why do people not find peace in this world? Why do people not find contentment in this world? Why is it nothing satisfies? Because we were created. We were created by a creator who designed us to be in his image and to be in relationship with him. And until we come home to that relationship, till we are found in Christ and operating as we were created, to be in a real relationship with God, not religion, not attending church, not listening to church, but in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're never going to be content. We're never going to find real peace. You see, the peace that Jesus came to bring us was to end our problem, our main problem, our only problem, which is our sin and our separation from God. God who is holy and just, and us who are all the opposite. A sin that separates us from having a relationship with the one who created us, the one who loves us. That sin has to be dealt with. That sin has to be held to account. The law has to be fulfilled. The justice of God has to be fall upon the injustice. And the only ones unjust in this world is us. We deserve that. We deserve for justice to fall upon us. But this baby came to be the one who would walk through this life, the only one who wouldn't deserve justice to fall on him because he was just. He came to take our punishment, our justice upon himself. Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Jesus is so much more than what many people understand today. More than just a man, born of a virgin, miracle of God. He is God. And that brings on a whole new understanding of the sacrifice, the wounding, the bruising, the stripes upon him. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and lived the life we couldn't, and then had the justice of God fall upon him for our transgressions, our iniquities. Our sins and our iniquity are transgressions against him, against God. And Jesus is God in human flesh. Do you understand? God came one of us to take the punishment of our sins against him upon the punishment on himself. Let that sink in. That's like someone coming up to you and beating you up and robbing you, and then you stand up and go, I want to take their jail sentence upon myself. None of us would do that. I don't care how merciful and charitable you are. If someone sins against you, someone has committed crimes against you, no, you want justice for that person. You want them to pay for what they did to you. No way would you go to prison for them. No way would you take the punishment upon yourself. But that's what God did. That's what Jesus did. When he became a baby, he became a human to live this life, to deal with the one problem we all have in humanity, our separation from God and our pending judgment because of the law we've broken. And the justice that should fall upon us, he fell upon him as the Word, as God in human flesh. Matthew 1 says this, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." And because he was God in human flesh, he was perfect as a human being. He could be tempted in every way we are. He could feel every pain, sorrow. He could feel and experience everything we do. Because he was God, though, he could handle it as God and remain pure and sinless. So he could be that sacrifice for us. John 1:29, John the Baptist said, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Our sin. The sin separating us from God. The sin separating us from the peace of God. Hebrews 12. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." The Bible tells us that the plan of salvation, that Christ being crucified, was before the foundation of the world. Christ knew and willingly came, humbling himself and becoming one of us to do the will of the Father. To save that which was lost. And went to the cross. One of the most gruesome, if not the most gruesome, hideous, torture, excruciating deaths. It was joy. What kind of God is this that had joy to do the Father's will to save us? Who weren't even really looking to be saved. Looking to save a creation that belittled him, mocked him, spit upon him. A creation that he looked down upon and said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." It's starting to show you the heart of God. Matthew 2, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him." There was a couple of people that understood who he was. They had been in the Word of God before. They knew the Magi. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold." It was a common practice when you came to see a king, you brought him gold. It was a gift for a king. Frankincense. It was what was burned in the temple to worship God. It's part of the practice of worshiping God, the incense. And myrrh. It was applied upon death to prepare the body for burial. You see, these three magi, having the Old Testament scriptures, traveled. Understood who Jesus was, what the Bible had always prophesied. And they came knowing this was the King. They knew he was God. And they understood his death. And they worshiped him. Going back to Luke 2, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God." the God who did this, who became this, the God who took our punishment. Yes, glory to God for His great love and sacrifice, His mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. We can have peace with God. And that's all that matters in life. You know, one person might have a terrible life. Everything may go wrong. They may be poor. They may become homeless. And then another person may be rich and famous and powerful and enjoy all the good things in life. And then there's everybody in between. Right? But the same death happens to the one over here, to the one over here. Everyone is appointed to die once, and then the judgment. And it doesn't matter what you had in this life or what you didn't have. Did you die in Christ? Did you die in faith of the child born in Bethlehem? Of the man who He was? How His life and His sacrifice for you? Did you die in faith in Him? Because only those who are in Christ will not experience the judgment of God, the justice of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. So today I have to ask you, do you have the peace of Christmas in your life? No, actually, better yet, let me ask you this. Do you have the peace of Christ in your life? That no matter what goes on in this life, good or bad, you have Jesus Christ. You have the security, the promises, and you have the peace. Because you know whose hands you're in. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or is He just a vague thought in your life? Do you have peace, real peace? Or are you still trying to find it in the things in this life? The angels sing about a peace that's only connected through Jesus Christ, because He is He is the peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, we were separated from God from our sins, every one of us. No one was closer than the other. We're all sin, our sins separated. We are far from God, all humanity. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Because becoming a human, God in human flesh, living and growing up and living the perfect life where there was no sin, He could go to the cross and He could die in our place. And the justice of God could fall upon Him. Have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Before faith in Christ, you are at odds with God. You're at odds with the one who created you. You're living in rebellion, as we all have been in times past. If you've not been born again, you're still living in rebellion, even if you sit in church. I did that for many, many years. When you finally realize the truth of who He is, what He did for you, the truth of God's Word, the conviction of your own sinfulness and your desperate need of a Savior, and you turn to Him, because everyone can turn to Him, anybody, in faith, and He'll save you, and He'll forgive you. And Christ will come into your life, and the Holy Spirit will seal you, and you can start to abide in Jesus Christ. You can start to live, learn to live a different way, have your mind renewed, the healing that Christ brings to those who have broken hearts. And you can learn and grow and abide in Christ and walk with God. And you start to experience the peace that is God, that only He can bring. Looking at that cross, right now we see a Christmas tree. And you'll always hear at this time of year, people, the pagan roots, right? Trees are evil, pagan. And that is so untrue. And there's a scripture they say in Isaiah that forbids Christmas trees. That is untrue. There is no, zero, none pagan rituals that took trees, cut them down, and decorated them. None. We can trace this back to the early Christians in Germany, where they created trees that they put fruit on to symbolize the tree of life. Back in the garden before the fall. And how Christ came to bring us back into relationship with God. So we see the beautiful tree, and the tree of life in Christ, and that's good. But before we can get to the tree of life, one had to hang on a tree and be cursed for us. And so in the beautiful season of Christmas, and the joy and the peace that it represents that we can have, and you can return and have eternal life, the tree of life. But remember, between those two points was a cross. The God who loves you more than we can ever really fathom, came and did that for us. So we could have peace even in this life. And we can have joy. And we can stop chasing all the shiny things out there. And we can be His church. And we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can take this message, the most precious message, the most precious gift ever. We can take this to people. That's why we're a church. What better time to invite people to come to Jesus Christ than Christmas? To receive the greatest gift ever. We need to tell them to humble themselves before God. Repent of their sinful ways and believe in Jesus Christ. Have faith in what He did for them on that cross. For them to call out to Him for forgiveness and the salvation of the soul. To receive the peace of Christ. The peace of Jesus. To receive the peace of Christmas. Come on up, team. I want to close with this beautiful song. Then we will pray and we'll go home. You can remain seated if you like, or you may stand.
Bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for their mistake, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was born in Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Couldn't sing that last verse. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you and we want to glorify you. We thank you for Jesus Christ being born. Lord, we thank you for becoming one of us to reach us, to save us. We praise you, Lord. We honor you. And let us live for you. Let us honor you and worship you, not just in song, but in lives given to you, to your service, to the Great Commission, to be in your church, being salt and light. I ask you, Lord, to help us to go out this week, and if we have an opportunity to share with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true meaning of the baby born in Bethlehem. Let us honor you. Let us honor what you did for us. Let us love you as you've loved us. Let us be your people. Let us be your church. Let us be your team this week. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. All right, so you must break out of here. Let's go be the best team we can be for our captain, for our Lord and our Savior. Let's break out of here and count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.